Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy, and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, please call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, go to our website at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. You can also write us at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Well, it's not uncommon for skeptics to suppose that Christians are, well, irrational, because we believe in a God we can't see. In reality, it is rational for someone to suppose that what cannot be seen doesn't exist. And why is that? It's because Christians and skeptics alike recognize such things as electrons, or for that matter, the laws of logic, or the force of gravity, despite the fact that all of these and many more they're unseen. And even the most ardent anti-supernaturalist recognizes the gravity of gravity, particularly if you're standing way, way up in the air, or you're in a helicopter looking out the door and hoping it doesn't open up. And not only all of that, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature have been clearly seen. They're understood from what has been created, and therefore we as human beings, or as the Bible puts it, without excuses. The order, the complexity of the universe testifies to the existence of an uncaused first cause. And I should add to this that Christ is the very image of the invisible God, and therefore the incarnation of Christ is the supreme act of God's self-revelation. Therefore, we can experience the power and presence of God in a way that is more fundamentally real than our own perceptions of the physical world. Whenever I think of the physical world and the infinite complexity of this world, I think of what has been described as a pale blue dot, but a dot that is located in the Milky Way galaxy. It's a fairly typical spiral galaxy, but it has 100 to 400 billion stars. And the Milky Way is just a speck in the observable universe, where there may well be as many as 2 trillion galaxies. Imagine that. Take it all into account, and there are more than 1 billion trillion stars, more stars than grains of sand by at least a factor of 10 to 1. And you could think even further. Contemplate the fact that each grain of sand contains 100 billion individual atoms. More atoms in one grain than grains of sand on Earth, or for that matter, stars in 1 billion Milky Way galaxies. Truly, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. A single drop of water is comprised of almost 2 billion trillion individual H2O molecules. What that means is a few large drops of water would contain a total molecule count that would exceed the total number of stars in the entire universe. The more you contemplate the grandeur of the universe in which we reside, the more we are brought in touch with the glory and the grandeur of the invisible God who made himself known in time and space through the visible Jesus Christ. Well, let's go to the phone calls. First up, Reginald, listening in Bedford Heights, Ohio, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Reginald.
Hi, Brother Hank, and thank you for taking my call, and may God continue to bless your body, heal you.
Thank you.
My question is, I'm having problems phrasing it, as far as concerning keeping the Sabbath, the seventh day, keeping it holy, and then with it being changed I believe I heard you mention during Constantine, from Saturday to Sunday, and in the Western, here in the West, we celebrate Christ on Sunday. So is it something that we are to stay to go back to the Sabbath? And where do Colossians, all of chapter 2, where do that come in to where it's no longer under the law?
Well, I think, first of all, we've got to get rid of some mythology. Constantine the Great gets blamed for so many things. It is simply incredible. He's probably not only turning over in his grave, but he's going into high rotation with what has been attributed to him. You know, the reason that we worship on the first day of the week is not Constantine, but it is rather the example of the early church. In remembrance of the resurrection, early Christian church members, they changed the day of worship from Saturday to Sunday. I'm talking about an apostolic succession from the apostles to the apostolic fathers to the holy fathers. They changed the day of worship from Saturday to Sunday. And within weeks, thousands of Jews, and this is just within weeks, these Jews willingly gave up a theological tradition that had given them their national identity. So God, not Constantine, provided the early church with a new pattern of worship as a result of Christ's resurrection on the first day of the week. And not only that, the Holy Spirit's descent on Pentecost Sunday. So here you have people that are steeped in a tradition that suddenly turn it on its head. Why? Because the greatest of all celebrations is now before us, the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the pinnacle of the Christian faith. Without resurrection, we have no hope. With resurrection, we are those that have the greatest of all aspirations, the aspiration toward a new heaven and a new earth and glorified bodies. Not only that, Reginald, but Scripture provides us with the reasons behind this symbol of the Sabbath. And we have to think about this as a symbol, a type or a shadow that points something forward to something far greater. So let me sort of cash that out by saying in Genesis, Sabbath was a celebration of God's completed work in creation. After the Exodus, the Sabbath expands and it becomes a celebration of God's deliverance from oppression in Egypt. And then as a result of the resurrection that I alluded to earlier, the Sabbath's emphasis shifted again because it became a celebration of the rest we have through Christ who delivers us from sin and the grave. And as I said many times on the Bible Answer Man, broadcast, for the emerging Christian church, the most dangerous snare was a failure to recognize that Jesus was the substance that fulfilled all the symbols of the Sabbath. And of course, if we want to go back to the symbols, then we have to go back to them in their entirety. If you insist on being slavishly bound to Old Testament laws, then we have to be forewarned that failing to keep the letter of the law could indeed be hazardous to our health. Because according to the Mosaic law, anyone who does any work on the Sabbath has to be put to death. But Paul explains in Colossians, which you alluded to, that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. So in the end, religious rites have to inevitably bow to redemptive realities. And much more could be said about Colossians, and maybe I'll do that after the break if I have some time, or we'll go on to some other questions. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. My thanks for all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Do remember the resource of the month, Eat, Fast, Feast. It's a hit, and for a good reason. It's making the difference in the lives of a lot of people. Heal your body while feeding your soul. It's a Christian guide to fasting, which is one of the most neglected spiritual disciplines in the Christian life. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions, so please don't touch that dial.
Eat, Fast, Feast is a book with a plan to promote healing the whole of you, physically and spiritually. If you are confused about when to eat and when to abstain from eating, don't delay. Read today. Hank Hanegraaff did, and the results have been nothing short of transformational for both his body and soul. To receive your copy of Eat, Fast, Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, A Christian Guide to Fasting by J.W. Richards, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. Like millions concerned about their health, Hank Hanegraaff had never really known which diet plan to trust. But he's found the secret to healing the whole of you, body, soul, and spirit. Eat, Fast, Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul by J.W. Richards reveals that God is interested in more than just our physical health. He's interested in healing the whole of us. Eat, Fast, Feast outlines a plan found in the ancient Christian practice of intermittent fasting that can help you experience deeper life in Christ. To receive Eat, Fast, Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, A Christian Guide to Fasting, simply visit equip.org. That's equip.org. And make a gift in support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.
Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Hey, what's your name? We'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up, Paul. He's listening in West Lynn, Oregon on the web. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Oh, okay. I'm just calling regarding predestination, and, you know, I believe that I became a Christian in 1985. One of my friends was murdered and had problems with that, but felt like I accepted the Lord. And my life really, if I look back now, didn't change that much. And wondering if I was called by God, and if I really had salvific type of transformation in my life. You know, I've gone through a divorce and lost a lot of things, and really, you know, just questioning my faith and questioning whether God's in my life. And it saddens me, but that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, it'd be hard for me to diagnose without knowing a whole lot more about you. But let me say this, that one of the things that I think we have to get a hold of, particularly in the modern day church, is that Christianity is not a transaction that we make some time ago, and then we say, well, it probably didn't take, and I wonder if I'm not really called, and so forth. But really, it is a relationship that is transformational. So when someone receives Christ, to use the terminology that you used earlier, or accepts Christ, then what they do as a result of that is they don't continue living on as a baptized secular humanist, but rather they're baptized, they take up their cross, and they daily follow Christ within the context of the spiritual gymnasium, which is the church. And as I say over and over again on this broadcast, and I'll keep repeating it as many times as necessary, we can't have God as our Father without having the church as our mother, because it's within the context of a healthy, well-balanced church that you receive the graces that transform you. That doesn't happen outside the church in and of itself. It happens in conjunction with the church. There's certainly a lot of disciplines that you engage in on a personal level outside the body of Christ. There's personal prayer, and there's personal praise, and there's personal worship. But within the church, there are sacraments. Those sacraments are transformational. And if you engage within the body of Christ, then your relationship with Christ continues to grow. If you try to be a Lone Ranger Christian, try to do it on your own, then growth is stilted. You know, the chief instrument of deification, being a partaker of the divine nature, as Peter puts it, is the Eucharist. Well, where do you receive the Eucharist? You receive it within the context of a healthy, well-balanced church, and that is a transformational sacrament. But there are many others, including the sacrament of confession. If we don't avail ourselves of the church, and again, I'm talking about a rightly ordered church, then many things in our lives will go awry, and we'll be trying to run the Christian race as Lone Rangers, and when we fall, there'll be no one to pick us up. So I think a lot of that has to do with becoming intimate with God within the context of the body of Christ.
Yeah, it's just been very trying. I work with the youth group early on, and, you know, feel like I certainly had a very sound doctrinal introduction to who Christ was, and yet when it came to my wife getting divorced, I went to our pastor, head pastor, and he didn't wish to intervene. I didn't want to get divorced, and then I really kind of turned my back on the church as a result of that, to my own, you know, really to my own detriment.
Yeah, well, it's not too late to turn. and find a healthy, well-balanced church. And you have put your finger on some of the problems within the context of the modern-day church. And I think one of the things for me as an individual is getting back to how did the early church function? And if you do get back to that, you won't be in a situation where a priest or a pastor will turn their back on you on the most vulnerable time or during the most vulnerable time of your life. That's why I say we can't go it alone. We have to do it within a community, and it has to be a healthy, well-balanced community. But I hope you do, and I not just hope, but I pray that you do find a church that that can be transformational in terms of your growth as a Christian.
Thank you, Hank.
You got it. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Dave in Edmonton, Alberta, listening on CJCA. Hi, Dave.
Hello.
Your question.
Yes, I was listening to your program, and a caller earlier called in with despairing comments about being abandoned by the Holy Spirit.
Uh-huh.
And your comments, very substantial, and it's not something that I would disagree with as far as redirecting his attention to the church. But I wondered about some further comment about the presence of the Holy Spirit within the believer, and Ephesians 1, I believe, being sealed.
Yeah.
By the Holy Spirit. Could you further comment on that, please?
Yeah, I don't think the sealing of the Holy Spirit in any sense could be used to communicate that a person loses their volition. Meaning that I think it's important for us to recognize the biblical passages that let us know that we can turn away from the faith. You know, you see David, for example, saying, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will turn back to you." The implication there is that David had lost the presence of the Holy Spirit in his life, and now he is pleading when he comes to a true valuation of things for God to restore his spirit to him and to cleanse him like you would cleanse the inner recesses of a cup. The free will that God gives us is a will to do or to do otherwise. We can either walk towards the Lord and continue in the faith, or we can walk away from the Lord. And that's why it's so important for us to be integrated within the community of faith so that we can continue to grow and receive that which nourishes us. Because without that, being outside of the vine means that we have no life. There is no life in us. You know, so for example, I mentioned the Eucharist in the call. If you partake of the pure body and precious blood of Jesus Christ, you have life in you. If you don't, you don't have life in you. So you have to partake of the means of grace. That's the point.
Right. And I think I gleaned from your broader comments earlier that the best way, and in fact, the biblical way for that to occur is to, within the context of the church, the body of Christ, community of believers.
It has to be. It has to be. It's axiomatic. It can't. There's no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. I can't say that enough times, because there are so many people that make a commitment to Christ, but they do so apart from the body of Christ, and that's a non sequitur. Because the moment that you become a believer is the moment that you require the sacrament of baptism. It is the sacrament of baptism that allows your temple to become a temple filled with the Holy Spirit, but in the context of a community of faith. And then you are given the chrism within the church, which is an anointing by the Holy Spirit. Again, all of this axiomatic to walking from one glory to another. So it can't ever happen apart from the church. And a lot of people seek to, well, be a Christian in isolation, and that's just not how it works. It may be popular to say that that is how it works, but it's not how it works. It always works within the context of community. Unfortunately, I have to leave it there. My apologies to all of you that I didn't get to today. Hopefully we'll talk on a future edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Again, my thanks to all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. You are making a difference, not only for time, but also for eternity.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
The book, Eat, Fast, Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, is a true gift to Christians eager to grow spiritually as they get healthier physically. What makes this book unique? J.W. Richards draws on the ancient church's centuries-old practice of intermittent fasting as a way of life in Christ unknown to many modern Christians. Most books that promote diets focus solely on the physical. Eat, Fast, Feast is different because it isn't merely promoting a diet. It's a six-week plan for a powerful paradigm shift and genuinely holistic health that could make this the healthiest year of your life. To receive your copy of Eat, Fast, Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, A Christian Guide to Fasting, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.